Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Fili del Vesuvio podcast. I'm your co-host Carmen, alongside Serrano here. How are you, man?
Buddy, I'm good, man. Just trucking on, man.
I've been managing. I'm in school at my postgrad right now, so it's really busy.
It's a grind.
managing, especially now. It's really weird with how everything's working with school, but
everything. Anyways, like this conversation, everything virtual now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, I'm in class too, but that's a whole weird thing there. Anyways, I can go on a tangent about that. But what I do want to get on a tangent on is the Juve-Suarez deal. Now, I'm not sure if anyone out there has heard about what happened with Juventus and Luis Suarez, or if you have. People may have different thoughts on it. People may say that Juve should be automatically relegated.
So hold on. Before we get into it, maybe give a little bit of background as to the whole situation.
Actually, yeah, it's a good point because maybe some people haven't heard about it. So basically, Luis Suarez was going to go to Juventus for an X amount of money that I can't remember. It never happened. He's at Atletico Madrid right now. The money doesn't matter. So what had happened was Suarez, before signing the deal, had to take a citizenship test. And a part of the citizenship test is fluency in the Italian language, what level you are at to speak Italian. And there is a minimum standard to have in order to pass to gain citizenship. Now, Suarez's wife is already Italian. She has a citizenship. So if that deal would have went through, she would have gone in no problem. I don't know why he was writing a citizenship test. And I could be wrong if it was a citizenship test, but there was something that had to deal with proficiency in the Italian language. Mm-hmm. And Suarez doesn't speak a lick of Italian. None. He speaks nothing. But yet, somehow, Suarez managed to pass the test with basically flying colors. Now, people who look at this test, and then they ask Luis Suarez, how are you doing in Italian? And he doesn't know how to respond, yet he knows passato remoto and futuro. Like, what the hell is going on? This doesn't make sense.
Erase some red flags right away.
So, what then happens is, there was, I believe, Serrano, you said this to me before. I didn't know this. There was wiretaps between conversations between a lawyer representing Juventus to the University of Foreigners in Perugia. And basically what had happened was the lawyer had promised more business in exchange, more business from the club to the university in exchange for preferential treatment for the player on the test. Now, you might go ahead and say that has nothing to do with how this should affect Juventus's stance on the table, their performance, etc., etc., etc.
Yeah.
Well, you know, let me offer you this. And this is taken from, I have my notes in front of me. I'm going to read out some notes here. Something that I've taken off an international law firm in Italy, Arnone and Sicomo. And basically what they state is the offense of facilitation of illegal immigration in Italy is governed by Article 12 of the Consolidated Act on Immigration. Irrelevant. You just know it has to be in the legislation.
Of course.
We differentiate it between simple offenses and aggravated offenses. Aggravated offenses of illegal transportation, human trafficking, sex trafficking, etc.
Yeah.
But then there's the simple offenses. And now, This is a quote directly from them. This is not me making anything up.
Yeah.
Simple offenses consisting in promoting, managing, organizing, financing, or carrying out the transportation of foreign people onto the territory of Italy. Simple offenses consist in undertaking any action which causes illegal entry, like the one stated above, and can be punishable with imprisonment up to 5 years, as well as a fine of 15,000 euros for every person that is involved.
You just said it right now, bro.
It's cut and dry.
Cut and dry. We got him.
Just a simple, said it. This was a simple Google search. That was a simple Google search.
And they probably would have gotten away with it too, if it weren't for those meddling kids. But no, if it wasn't for apparently the university was already being investigated for some other scandal that their phone was being tapped by some guardia, like some organization, Italian organization, which then they overheard that conversation, which then sparked, sounded the alarms for them, basically. So yeah, this is really, kind of like the number one story in Italy right now, sports-wise. There's a lot of debate on Twitter and on social platforms about what should be the punishment. And, if they're proven guilty, which it seems like, it's kind of cut and dry, like that they committed some sort of offense.
There is some sort of offense to me. I'm no lawyer. I never studied law in my life. But just off a simple search, especially the point where it says organizing and financing, which is the two things that they literally did.
Yeah.
They organized, and it said over here, contacted the university to promise more business.
Their business, that's money right there. That's financial.
Already knocked off two of the requirements. All you needed was one.
So we're not going to say that they're guilty because we can't. We're not the judge. We're not judge, jury, and executioner. But say if they do, they are founded guilty. What would you think would be like? Okay, one. I'll say what do you think is going to be the punishment, and what do you feel should be the punishment? Like, so I'll give those two questions.
What I think is going to be the punishment, and mind you, this is no knock to. Oh, Juve is buys the FIGC and AIA and all that sort of stuff.
Let's try to be as neutral as possible.
I'm gonna be as neutral as possible, even though I've seemed very biased up until this point. This has happened before. It's happened with, I believe, Inter, and they've had a minimal fine. It was like basically a slap on the wrist to them. I think this is going to be the same thing. I think probably. With your situation, they falsified a passport, so that's document fraud. I can't remember exactly what they did, but something happened with Inter, which they had a minimal fine to pay, or minimal.
Which is fundamentally wrong. I'm not just saying that for Juve. It's wrong for any team that does that, because if you or I would fake a passport, we would be facing jail time.
5 years in prison. And $15,000 year, it's a 50,000 euro fine for every person.
Are Inter, or is Juventus, or is like any like big institution, big business?
If Napoli were to do it, I'm gonna be honest with you. Yeah, they should be fined for it. You're not above the law.
Should be punished. Yeah.
You should be punished.
They should be up against the equivalent for a business as a person would get. Jail time is serious. Like, they should be up against some serious, maybe point deduction or relegation is a little bit of a – that's a little bit tough. Like, I know I've seen some people saying Juve to Serie B. I don't think that's fair. That wouldn't be fair at all.
Not at all. I don't agree.
But, yeah, I think that whoever commits the offense should be, held responsible if they're found guilty.
Exactly.
There hasn't been a trial yet. They still haven't. Yeah. Sentence anybody, so
I mean, innocent until proven guilty for sure. And I believe the fine X amount of millions of euros, Juventus is a big club, they can afford it.
I think probably see a fine.
I'd say somewhere around the ballpark of 5 to 10 million euros for sure. For that fine. I mean, it's a federal offense. It's a serious offense.
It is. Wow, that's a lot of money. Well, that's a decent amount of money. I mean, it is a big offense. It is a big offense. But
I mean, it'd be closer to 5. But even if I saw 10, I wouldn't be surprised. Another thing that I thought, right, is so even in the same or just a week. This was a week before what happened with Roma or someone.
You know what I think they should be fined? Sorry to interrupt you. You know what I think the punishment should be? They have to buy Medic for 25 million euros. That would be perfect. Beautiful. Here. You take this poll. Just have him. No, exactly. And we'll call it even Stevens.
You take this tree, all right, and you pay us $25 million for it. That's we're all fine after that point.
Everybody's happy. All is forgiven. Never happened.
Anyways, I was saying, like, Roma, even in the Roma match, people don't know about this either. Roma accidentally mistaked Diawara's age.
Oh, yeah.
They wrote 22, put him in the under 22 squad when Diawara is 23. And even they got punished for a mistake. That's a mistake.
That's a mistake. And that's not even that serious, to be honest.
Exactly. The
fact that they were fined 3 points kind of sucks, but if it's in the rules, it's in the rules. But
it's the tavolino, right? So they get fined. They don't get fined. They just get penalized 3 points off a mistake. Now, in my belief of something that's intention, you have to have a heavier penalty against it. My thing is, like I said, 5-10 million euros, whatever it may be, maybe closer to fine. And I'd say the last game they played against Sampdoria's granted the win, so that's 3 points, and then another game on top of that, so 6 point reduction.
Wow. That's I mean, could happen. I think that's a little bit steep, but you know, considering it is like you purposely were found to, you know, bend the rules, like, and you know, not just, you know, Serie A rules, like federal rules. Yeah, I mean, it's a stretch, but I don't think it's an unreasonable stretch if it does happen. But you know, who knows?
Here's the thing, right?
If we're going to comparables, though, if Inter gets a slap on the wrist, then Juve should probably get a slap on the wrist.
We get a slap on the wrist too. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, is it going to be a case in which Juve is going to get a slap on the wrist just to keep things consistent, or is it that they're going to appeal to the masses, which the masses are saying deduct points? Most of the extremes are saying relegation. Completely unreasonable. You can't.
That is. Really.
But they should, or is it going to be a case in which Juve has made an example of? That's another thing you have to take into consideration.
I don't know. Italy's not really a country that likes to make examples out of anybody. They're kind of whatever when it comes to things like that. But
no.
You know, it's going to be really interesting to see. Because we're not dealing with Lega, we're dealing with, you know, the Italian government, basically, or, you know, the governing body of Italy, the police, whatever, whoever is involved with that. I'm not sure what agency would be involved. So, you know, it's not like anything that we're used to seeing in terms of, like, you know, like what happened with Roma. It's like Lega's decision. So let's see. Yeah, it's not so cut and dry to say what the punishment's going to be. It's cut and dry like that. They probably are going to be found guilty, but we don't know what the punishment exactly is going to be.
I am considering the fact that I am essentially being judge, jury, and executioner here. What I'm saying is what I've researched myself.
Yeah, you have receipts, like. I didn't do that much research, but
because before looking into the actual penalties and fines and all that, I said realistically it's no big deal. Maybe a fine, so what, right? He didn't even get to go to Juventus anyways.
Yeah.
But now that I'm looking into it a little bit deeper.
The law and everything and the penalties. It's more serious than it's more serious than you know it seemed in the beginning.
Exactly. So that's why I'm saying a minor point deduction, anywhere between 3 to 6 points, or even just nullifying the last game and giving Sampdoria the win. That brings Juve to the bottom of the table, and that 3 points could make a difference at the end of the year. Now, it could make a difference in the sense that, you know, maybe Juve didn't lose fairly this year, but it could be argued that yes, they did, because you broke the law. It's just the way of the world, right?
I don't know. All I know is that I would honestly speaking, if it has to come down to Juventus like losing the Scudetto by 3 points and they had a point reduction, I'd rather just not even have a point reduction, because then we'll never hear any of us will never hear the end of, you know, oh, we got fucking shafted, we got screwed over.
But come on.
They're just them not even get a point deduction, to be honest. Yeah. Just to avoid hearing, you know, we got screwed over.
But then again, you know, they get a, let's say hypothetically, they get a point reduction and end up winning anyways. You're never going to hear the end of that either.
Yeah, exactly. That's why, you know what? Screw the point reductions.
You win on a point reduction, by all means, you deserve it.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
You deserve it 100%. There is no two ways about it.
I mean, I'm not even, you know, I plead the fifth. I was going to say something. I plead the fifth. Yeah.
Good call on that one.
I'll keep it off this. I'll keep it off the podcast.
Yeah. I'll keep it on the personal.
Off the record. It'll be off the record. You know, I'm just going to withdraw my comment to what you said. But yeah, you know, ideally, realistically, yes, a team that does play with a, you know, a handicap and wins usually most of the time deserves to win.
Yeah, I agree.
Barring any unforeseen potential issues.
That may include a bar system. Anyways.
Yeah.
Let's get into more of into our territory.
Yeah, let's get into Napoli. I guess we'll talk about them.
I guess. Why not, right?
I guess so.
Let's have a Napoli podcast and not talk about Napoli for a second.
Hold on. Let me ask this eye that was this much open while it was watching the game what it thought about the game at 6:30 in the morning.
I'm going to be honest with you. I've never woken up for 6:30 so early in my life.
Oh, I always do. But it's always like, and then I fall asleep. This is what happened. I'll wake up. I'll watch the first half. Then I'll fall asleep a second, it's halftime, and then I'll wake up at the 60th minute, and I'll just, you know, start going. I woke up in the second half when the substitution happened, when Osimhen came in.
Osimhen came on.
Which was perfect. So
I was, you know what? Lucky for you that you slept through all of that. I was awake.
Well, I was awake for the first half, and I wanted to, like, literally, I was at my friend's house. We hung out. We had, like, a few drinks, whatever. I ended up crashing there. So everyone's sleeping, and I'm like, just I get up and I go to the couch and I just like turn on the DAZN and I'm just watching on the couch. I wanted to absolutely lose my shit and just throw the controller at the TV. That's how frustrated I was in the first half.
First half, we started off in the 4-3-3 formation, unknown. I'm gonna pull that up right now. But we started off in a 4-3-3. Now, classically, a 4-3-3 for our team works.
Yeah,
we've worked on that formation.
I think the 4-3-3 we were playing was Insigne, Mertens, Lozano.
Insigne, Mertens, Lozano is right. Yeah.
And then we had Demme, Fabian, and Zielinski.
Yeah.
And then behind them was Hisai. Okay. I'm pretty sure they played Hisai left back.
Hisai,
Anolas, Koulibaly, and Di Lorenzo, in front of Ospina.
I think Hisai was left back.
Hisai was left back out. I remember vividly, half in my sleep, being like, why the fuck is Hisai left back?
Yeah, Hisai was left back. Ospina started Di Lorenzo. Yeah, you got the entire lineup right.
And I was half asleep. This eye pays attention good. At this point, I'm pretty sure that Gattuso would play me left back before he would play fucking Gulam. I don't know.
Gulam,
he'd play like left back before he played fucking Gulam. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, Gulam looked good in preseason training camp. You're telling me a natural left back isn't better than, you know, Hisai playing left back? Hisai can't even play right back.
Like, Gulam looked good in the preseason, but what was our competition?
I know, but you never know if the guy's washed or not. You're paying him. Like, he's your player. He's not hurt anymore. What does it hurt to just, you know, say, we're playing Parma. Let's see what Gulam has. Let's see what he does. Like, let's play him. Let's give him some minutes.
Against Parma wouldn't be, because, you know,
even Sunday, like against Genoa. Like, you're telling me fucking Gulam couldn't play against Genoa.
Okay, but the thing is, right, looking on our past, especially against Parma and Genoa, they're teams that have given us a tough time. Parma beat us last year 2-0.
I know, but you're not gonna lose on you're not gonna lose at left back, Carm. Like you're not gonna lose at left back. Your left back's not gonna lose you the game.
It could make a difference, is what I'm saying, right? So you want to pick teams that are more, you know, like Spezia, Benevento.
I know, but he's not washed. I don't think Ghoulam's washed.
But just to try him out, you throw him in there. Throwing him in there right now, especially at the beginning of the season. And like you said it last podcast, right? You said you don't win at the beginning of the season, but you can lose it. Right now, he's playing conservative. So he's playing players that he knows can work.
Yeah, I guess.
Thinking he's eye and thinking, oh, maybe he's eye works beyond me.
His eye might not even be here next week, to be honest, from what I've been reading.
Huh?
Apparently, he might not even be here next week.
His eye?
He's, I forget who wants to buy him, Shakhtar or something. They're offering like 7 million euros. Napoli wants 10, so he might actually be on the block, which makes sense because we have, what, 3 right backs? We have Malcuit, we have Di Lorenzo, and we have Isai. But that works only if we replace him with a left back or we give Ghoulam some runs and see if Ghoulam can actually play.
Yeah, you'd have to give him that opportunity for sure. The thing is, like, when are you going to give him that opportunity against which teams? That's another thing you have to consider because you can't throw him into the Wolves.
True. So I think he can handle it, to be honest. And then worst case scenario, what, you could sub him off. Like, but like I said, I don't think you lose the game at left back unless, like, who's your left winger? Like Cristiano Ronaldo, which wouldn't be Ronaldo's a right winger. I don't know. Like, depending on who the winger is, like, that winger, you probably won't lose the game on by left, like, on the left back.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just see who Napoli's next schedule coming up because I only know Genoa and I don't know after that.
Genoa
after would be Juve. After that would be Juve, if I'm correct. After
Genoa is Juve.
Yeah.
Okay.
So right away.
That's great.
That's great. But my birthday. Juve.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's a good.
Juve Napoli.
If Napoli could win that game,
that would be great. I'm already preparing myself for my birthday to be ruined, to be honest. I'll try to enjoy my day as much as I can before 2:35. I'll wake up at 6 a.m. and I'll do all the fun stuff and, like, be in a happy mood because
exactly.
My birthday could be done at 2:45.
And if they win, your birthday is done at 2:45. Oh,
then my birthday is extended for a week.
Until the next match day.
Yeah, it's going to be a week-long celebration if they win.
Anyways, so let's go back to this Padma match for a second.
Okay.
First half, I wanted to blow my brains out.
Yeah, it's terrible.
We could not find anyone in the final third. Nobody. We had zero shots, or maybe one, and it wasn't even on target. Nothing was going on. And, like, it was that same thing that we saw last year, that Gattuso-style 4-3-3. It's very slow.
Shit.
Slow, very possession-based, with no verticalization. It's just really bad to look at.
It's terrible. And I don't know if you throw Osimhen in the middle of that, if that improves it, because you have then someone big and tall to throw the ball into. I don't know. As soon as Osimhen came in and they switched to that 4-2-3-1, the game changed. Because you then now have more space for Mertens, especially Mertens playing that center attacking mid role. He has so much room to roam behind and just get lost in between lines. Because you got a big Osimhen that's drawing defenders away from Mertens, which on the first goal, that's exactly what happened. The ball goes into Osimhen and then it leaks out and it goes straight to Mertens, who has no one on him.
I can guarantee you that first goal, you throw in Milik, you throw in Llorente, you throw in whoever you think, wouldn't have happened.
No.
But because Osimhen was out there, his attacking IQ is something that I haven't seen since Cavani.
He plays very similar to Cavani.
Even Higuain, but Cavani. Yeah,
I'll give that to you. But I don't know. I feel like Osimhen has a higher IQ than – well – Higuain might be a better finisher now, like, or when he was in his prime compared to Osimhen now. Osimhen could improve his finishing and maybe get to a Higuain level. But just his passing, his running, you know. I think Osimhen set up a goal too. No, he didn't. That was Lozano, the second goal. Or no, he did set up a goal. No, Lozano set up both goals.
Lozano set up both.
Crossed the one in, and it leaked, and then he dribbled, and then it was the rebound, if I'm remembering.
Yeah.
Like I said, that 4-2-3-1.
It works.
Osimhen creates space.
It's tried and proven.
Yeah.
It works. As soon as Osimhen came on and we switched the formations, we went from having zero shots to having 16 shots.
Yeah.
Seven and two goals. 30 minutes.
Yeah. We were Napoli was uncontainable. When you have Osimhen up there and then you have Mertens behind there and then you got that pace on the wings, it's just...
Oh, and then it got even better when they took off Mertens and they put on Petagna. Then just started to get like unreasonable at that.
That is OP. Then they probably switched. They probably switched that formation. They probably go into like what a 4-2-3-1, or no, a 4-2, no, a 4-2 or 4-3-2-1 kind of. I think someone kind of has to drop back a bit, or no 1-2
between the two.
Yeah.
It was most likely from what I saw defensively, it was a 4-4-2. That's what it looked like.
Okay. Because you play two strikers. Yeah, you're right.
And it was kind of like a 4-3-1-2. Kind of,
yeah. Because if you play Petagna and Osimhen, they play beside each other, two strikers.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, it's kind of weird because you have two competing number nines. Like, they're both, Petagna is more of a classical number nine than Osimhen. But there's still
Osimhen can dribble. Osimhen has speed. Osimhen can pass. So it works. Yeah.
And Petagna has physical. He has dribbling and he has finishing. It's just
I don't know. I'm confident in say if Napoli ever needs a goal, like if we need a goal in a game, if they throw Petagna on in that situation I say that we probably get a goal. I don't know. Yeah. We cause a lot more problems.
The thing is, right? Our options for attack it's just endless, really. It's just it's pick and choose your poison for the other team. Basically. Who would you rather score this goal?
Yeah. And another thing I want to say is I know there's a lot of talk about the midfield and how supposedly we need another midfield to play this 4-2-3-1. I thought that Demme and then Lobotka, when they came on, I thought they handled it pretty well. I think Fabian and Zielinski could be back there and handle it well too.
Almas looked okay too.
Yeah, I don't think they need another. I don't think we need if Napoli has to buy any position, it's a left back. That's it. If you think that Ghoulam is washed, it's a left back.
I agree.
I don't think they need a midfielder. I think they need to start selling the players that are dead weight. Before the Mercato closes, I'm in Yunes and Milik and Llorente. That's got to be a goal for them. If they get a left back, I'm happy. Just the left back. That's all they need. We have infinite options on wing, strikers, just a left back. And I think we have a complete team.
And we were looking at options that are very inexpensive. Example, Carbonic.
I like Carbonic.
7 million euros, and I haven't watched much of him, to be quite honest, but the things that I have seen about him are really good.
He's 19.
He's 19 years old. So you have to set yourself up for the future. I said
and,
this.
And he can play in the midfield. That's right.
And he can play midfield. So if you need him there, he can move up a little bit. It's a perfect signing.
I think so. And especially if you sell Hisai at 10 or at 7. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Right there.
That's your transfer money for Carbonic. See, here's the thing that I said. Napoli are in a really good position right now to do a couple things. The first thing they can do is they have a squad that's good enough to compete every single year. They can compete for a Scudetto. They can compete for a Coppa Italia this year. They can compete for a Europa League title. Right?
I think so.
They can give us a good push and compete. Simultaneously, what they can do is that they have young enough players that this can continue for another 2, 3, 4 years.
The new cycle has started, yep.
a new cycle has started. You buy more depth players that are also young for like 10 million, whatever. You keep some of your experienced players, e.g. Dem, Fabian, Insigne, Mertens, right? And now you have a good balanced squad that can compete while simultaneously setting up another cycle for when those guys leave. Now you have backups for them. And then it repeats. Rinse and repeat.
Insigne, Mertens, and Koulibaly are my players that I hope that stay to start the next cycle. And Fabian and stuff. But I feel like Fabian is part of the next cycle. He's young enough to be part of that cycle still.
25?
No, he's younger. He's younger. He's what, 23?
Oh. He's only 24, 25. Let me check that.
I'm pretty sure he's 23. I think he's younger. I think he's my age or he's a year younger than me.
Fabian Ruiz.
No way he's 24. He's got to be like, what, 23?
24 years old.
How what? How old?
24.
Okay, still young.
He's still young. I mean, Petagna's 24. Osimhen's 20. Osimhen's my age. Beyond me. I'm actually older than him by 28 days or something. I'm December 1st. He's December
29th. Like, you have a young team. Yeah, no, our team is young right now. Meret's a future goalie, 100%. Okay. Never sell him.
Here's the thing with Meret. Meret doesn't start, he's leaving for first team action. No two ways about it. Ospina can't keep starting.
Supposedly, I don't know what Gattuso's fantasy is about Ospina. I think he's very average, to be honest. I don't think he's terrible. I think he's average.
He's better with his feet. That's it.
That's it. I don't need my goalie to be good with his feet. I need my goalie to stop fucking shots, man. I don't give a shit. Like, have the defenders shoot pass the ball around. Like,
yeah, but here's the thing, right? Okay, now it changes a little bit. No, actually, no, it doesn't. It really doesn't change much. Gattuso likes playing from the back, and that involves a sweeper keeper that's really good with his feet, right? Medet doesn't have that yet. Ospina does. So he's using an alternative that is useful right now through utilizing Ospina, who is not a great shot stopper, but he is a better sweeper and playmaker with his feet, I guess.
I've seen him mess up a few times, to be honest.
He messed up against Parma. He almost let in a goal.
Yeah.
One goal, I think.
But how much really better is he? I'd rather have Meret out there trying and learning. And
see, that's what I think, too. Meret should get the opportunity, because if he doesn't get playtime, he doesn't get experience. He never gets better.
I'm sure he's practicing it. Really? I'm sure he watches Ospina. I would hope that Ospina, it looks like they have a good relationship. Hope that Ospina helps him out, and
yeah,
you know, that's what he would be good for. I think he starts out against Genoa. I think that's what they're saying is, even if they 50-50 the starts, like, I wouldn't mind, like, if they, you know, go 1 week Ospina, 1 week Meret. But
for rotation, I guess, but I think you should have a first team squad and a second team.
Your audio is kind of cutting out a bit, Carm.
Oh, is it?
How yeah, it's now? Going a little bit lower.
Maybe it was just my voice. How about now? Good? No,
it's a little bit low. Hold on. Is it?
Okay, I can fix it after.
Okay, now it's good. Now it's good.
Okay. Anyways, as I was saying, you should have a first team and a second team, right?
Yeah.
First team goalie should be Meret. Second team goalie, Ospina, right? That's how I would like it to be.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm not running that squad, nor am I a tactician by any sense of the word. But I understand the game decently enough to see what decisions can and can't be made. But at the same time, right? If you don't give Meret that opportunity, he's going to want to leave because he knows his value.
And if
Gattuso doesn't appreciate that value, he's going to go to somewhere where they do appreciate it.
But I feel like everyone kind of knows that Meret is the future. Like, we know, like, even Ospina said it. He's like, yeah, Meret is the future of the team. He's the future of Italy. So,
well, right now he's competing, even on the national squad, he's competing for a third shirt. He's not even competing for a second shirt. So you have to give him that experience, and you have to let him play. There's no way around it. You have to let him play.
Yeah. And
I think, okay, we can excuse it for the last match. Fine. against Parma. We don't really need him there. We can even excuse him for the next match. Maybe you don't play him against Genoa. I would play him against Genoa because after Genoa is Juve. I want him against Juve.
Me too. He's the better shot stopper. He literally last season when he was when Ancelotti was still there, he saved our asses so many times. Like we would have probably got blown out 6-7 some games if it wasn't for Meta.
Yeah.
He was unreal.
He was making like circus saves. Saves that should have been made. He was making them.
Yeah.
He needs that opportunity. There's no other way around it. He needs the opportunity.